Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to invite you to open up your worship folders. Inside your worship folders, there's a space there for discipleship notes. I want to encourage you to get out a pen or pencil, because I believe that God is going to speak to you through his word. That is how God does this. He speaks to you through his word by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he gives you thoughts and direction and comfort. And so I think it's smart when God talks to listen and to take note, and then to take those notes home and to pray over them and to let God continue to guide you, not just on Sunday morning, but then throughout the week. And underneath that section for discipleship notes, there's some suggested scripture readings to help with your discipleship during the week. And these readings are based upon the next week's readings to sort of prepare you for them. And so we want this to be part of your rhythm every day, every week of your walk with Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We thank you for your gift of faith to us. We thank you, Father, because we're saved by grace through faith. And this is not by works, but it's a gift of yours to us, and so that we would not be able to boast. Father, we thank you that you not only give us the gift of faith, but you give us everything we need in this journey of faith. And Father, we need it because there are a lot of challenges. There are a lot of difficulties in our lives. There are a lot of things that make us question and doubt and wonder and worry. And so, Father, you promise to give us the Holy Spirit. You promise to guide us. You promise to provide for us. Father, help us to trust in your provision deeper and stronger. And help us, Father, to not only trust in it more deeply, but then to share the source of our confidence more clearly, more compellingly, with those around us. Father, we pray all of these things in Jesus' name, according to your will and for your glory. And all of God's children, we all say, Amen. Our sermon text for this weekend in worship is Acts chapter 2, verses 2 to 4. Let me read it for us again. It says, "And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Our sermon for this weekend in worship is titled, "Where God Guides, God Provides." Pentecost is an amazing experience. As we mentioned at the beginning of the service, Pentecost is 50 days after the bodily resurrection of Jesus. It's 10 days after the bodily ascension of Jesus into heaven. We had our first Ascension Day service as a congregation this year. It was well attended. It was on Thursday, May 30th. And we remembered how before Jesus ascended into heaven, he said to the disciples, "Go into Jerusalem and gather together and commit yourselves to prayer. And then the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And we remember how when the disciples were there, when Jesus bodily ascended into heaven, how amazing it was. And I mean, that would be an amazing experience to see your Savior bodily ascend into heaven. They were standing there gawking, apparently, because the scriptures tell us that God then hid Jesus from their sight with clouds. God thought, well, if I just make it a little harder for them to see him, they'll start doing what I want them to do. They'll go back to Jerusalem, they'll pray, and then the Holy Spirit will come upon them. But that's not what happened. As we remember from the scriptures, they continued to gawk, and you know, understandably so. And so then God sent two angels and had the angels kind of just sort of shoo them back into Jerusalem. Just get going and get on with what Jesus told you to do. And so then that's where we pick up the story. So the disciples have been told to go back and pray that the Holy Spirit will come upon them. And I would imagine that when they left the Mount of Olives and they went down the side of the Mount of Olives, across the Kidron Valley, back up the other side and into Jerusalem, and they gathered the 120 there, I can only imagine that those disciples were thinking to themselves, well, this is going to be awesome. And all we got to do is pray. We're just going to pray? How long can that take? Dave, you're pretty quick at prayer. You say the prayer, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon us, and it's going to be great. So they said, let's all huddle up. We're going to pray. They prayed. Dave prayed for them. 5 minutes, 10 minutes. They lifted their heads up. They looked around, and there was no Holy Spirit. And they said, well, gosh, what does this mean? Well, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, gather together and pray. Commit yourselves to prayer. Okay, he must want us to do some more praying. So then they bowed their heads and they prayed some more. And then they would have raised their heads and they would have looked around and there would have been no Holy Spirit. And then they probably started looking at each other. Jeff, are you praying seriously? Do you have your eyes closed? And they would have bowed their heads and they would pray some more. And they would have done that whole day. And there would have been no Holy Spirit. And then they would have said, well, what are we going to do now? Well, what did Jesus tell us to do? Jesus told us to gather together, to commit ourselves to prayer. Okay, everybody go home, go back to your separate places, get a good night's rest. Tomorrow we're going to fast and pray. They gathered back together, the 120 of them. They prayed. They prayed all day. At the end of the day, they looked around. No Holy Spirit. Now what are they thinking? Gosh. How long is it going to take for the Holy Spirit to come? And somebody might have said, well, it took 3 days for Jesus to come out of the tomb. Maybe it's going to take 3 days for the Holy Spirit. And they probably sat there and said to themselves, holy cow, pray for 3 days, seriously. And then they did that. And they prayed for 3 days. 3 days came, 3 days went, and there was no Holy Spirit. Now what are we going to do? Well, what did Jesus tell us to do? He told us to dedicate ourselves to prayer. So we're going to keep praying. Day 4, day 5, day 6. No Holy Spirit. They're talking to themselves. When is this going to happen? Somebody probably said, well, you know, 7. 7 is the number of completion. That's how long it took for the creation to happen and for God to get his day of rest. We're going to, 7 days, I bet the Holy Spirit comes then. They pray 7 days. 7 days comes, 7 days goes, and there's no Holy Spirit. And then they continue to gather, they continue to pray, and Scripture says that it was on the 10th day, the day of Pentecost, the 10th day, that then the Holy Spirit came upon them. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there is a lesson for us in this, if you want to take note of it. And that is that when we say where God guides, God provides, what that means is that who's doing the guiding? It's not Bill, and it's not Howard, and it's not Ted, and it's not Jim. Who does the guiding? God does. And who does the providing? God does. And whose schedule is it according to? It's according to God's schedule. And how will he provide? According to how he desires. And that's tough. That's tough because in our lives, we face difficulties. We face challenges of all sorts. We have loved ones who are struggling with medical issues. We have difficulties in our employment. We have difficulties in school. Yeah, it's summertime, but we're already looking ahead to the fall. And we're thinking about that kid who's hard to get along with. And we're thinking about that other kid who we wish would move away. And we're told to trust in God. But nothing seems to change. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we must learn from the text for this weekend about the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon the church, where God guides, God provides. Here's the next thing I want us to take note of. When the Holy Spirit descended on those disciples, those 120 who were gathered there, it's an amazing thing that happens. It says that a sound of a mighty rushing wind was heard. And then it says that the entire house was filled with this wind. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit filled every room, filled every nook and cranny of that house. And here's the thing I want you to take away today. You are that house. Because Scripture says that your body is the temple of the living God. You are that house. And what you need to understand about God guiding and God providing is this. When God guides and God provides is when the Holy Spirit indwells you. And the Holy Spirit doesn't just want one room in your house. He doesn't want just one floor in your house. The Holy Spirit is going to fill the entire house. He wants to fill you from the top of your head to the bottom of your toes. He wants to fill you completely. And it's kind of interesting because then the next thing that we see in the story is that after they heard this wind that filled the entire house, the next thing we see in the story is that above each of the believers' heads were tongues of fire, were tongues of flames. And that reminds us that the Holy Spirit is a purifying fire. The Holy Spirit wants to burn away everything within you that's not of God. And that's tough as a Christian. Because even as Christians, we want to hold on to things that are not of God. We want to hold on to hurts. We want to hold on to bad plans. We want to hold on to bad habits. We want to hold on and just be a little bit unrighteous before God. But Scripture tells us that God is going to purify us as in a fire seven times over, like gold being refined. Why? Because God wants to burn away everything that's not of Him. And so you need to understand that being filled with the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit coming upon the church is one of never-ending transformation into the image of Christ. Amen. He is at work doing this in us until we take our last breath. I want you to think about this. Why did Pentecost even have to happen? Why is there a day called Pentecost? Why did the Holy Spirit have to come upon the church? It goes back to the Old Testament reading. In the Old Testament reading from Genesis chapter 11, we see that the people were gathered there in Babylon and that they wanted to make themselves impressive before God. And so they began to make bricks and to construct a building so they, through their own works, could work their way up to God. Now, I want you to take note of this. I'd encourage you to write this down. Genesis chapter 3. Because in Genesis chapter 3, we see that Satan leads Adam and Eve into temptation. And what was the temptation that he put before Adam and Eve? He said to Adam and Eve, if you will but eat of this fruit, you will become like God. And that's exactly what the people in Babylon were hoping to be. They were hoping to become like God. And they thought that they could become like God through their good works. And that's a test and a challenge for us today. Even as Christians, we're tempted to think, you know, I'm pretty good before God because I do this and I do that, and I sure don't do what that person over there does. But brothers and sisters in Christ, what we have to recognize is that we're not made right before God by our own works. Because where God guides, God provides. That includes our righteousness, our salvation, and our forgiveness. Can we give God a praise clap for that this morning? Can we do that? Can we say thank you? Amen. And so one of the lessons of Pentecost is this. Is that whereas at the Tower of Babel, man tried to raise himself up to God, at Pentecost, God comes down to man in the power and in the form of the third person of the Trinity, as the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Pentecost is an amazing experience. And this year is an amazing year because this is one of those few years where Pentecost, as we celebrate it in the church, falls on the exact same day as the Jewish people who celebrate it. And what's interesting about Pentecost is also this, that in Jesus' day, there were two names given for this celebration at that time. The Orthodox Jews would call it Shavuot. The Hellenized Jews, the ones who spoke Greek, would call it Pentecost. Penta, the Greek word being five. And it's interesting, isn't it, that the word that the church always chose was not Shavuot, but Pentecost. And there's an important lesson for that for us today, that God never wanted this blessing to just be for the Jewish people, but that God wanted this to go out into all of the world. That's why the Holy Spirit descended upon those disciples. That's why they were given the ability to speak the languages of nations all around the world, because God wanted all to hear the good news. In the day of Christ, the high priest in the temple on the day of Pentecost would take two loaves. And these had been made from the first grains that were collected on the Feast of First Fruits, which is when Jesus was raised from the dead. And the high priest would take these two loaves and would perform what's called a wave offering. He'd literally wave them in the air before God. But today at Pentecost, it's God who's doing the waving. It's God who comes down in the form of a mighty rushing wind. And those two loaves are a reminder for us that God doesn't want just the Jews to be saved. God wants both the Jew and the Gentile to be in a right relationship with him. Can we give God a praise clap for that this morning? Amen. Amen. Pentecost would have been amazing to have experienced. For so many different reasons. I think it would have been amazing to experience also for this reason. You had 120 believers gathered in this home. And they're praying. They've been praying for 10 days. They've been waiting for the Holy Spirit to descend. And the next thing is they hear this mighty rushing wind come into the house and fill it up. And then they see these flames above each other's heads. And then they started talking in languages they didn't know. And here's the crazy thing about this. I mean, just the amazing thing about this. The languages that they were speaking in, those people were not in the house yet. Did you notice that in the reading? That when the Holy Spirit descended upon the believers, look it up, look at it. They then start speaking in all these languages, and Sue, you did a great job pronouncing those languages for us. They start speaking in all these languages, but there's nobody there yet in the house. It would be like, Peter, if you were to start speaking in Swahili, something you've never spoken in before. I mean, that would be wild, right? And then there's nobody in that house who is Swahili, who speaks Swahili. And all these people are speaking all these languages, and there's nobody in that house. The scripture tells us that it was when the people outside of the house heard all these languages being spoken, that that's when they came into the house. They came in as a response of what the Holy Spirit had already done in the church. Can we give God a praise clap for that this morning? Amen. It's incomprehensible, you know, that how God works. Those disciples sitting there, their minds were blown. And how God works today is also incomprehensible. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And God works today in the incomprehensible means of the waters of baptism. God tells us that in the waters of baptism, our faith is given to us. Our sins are forgiven. We're adopted as his children. To the unsaved mind, that's just incomprehensible. How does water do that? That's silliness. At the Lord's Supper, we receive Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of all of our sins. To the unsaved mind, that's just incomprehensible. It doesn't make any sense. But that is how God works, where God guides, God provides. Amen? Wait a minute. Let's try this again. Amen? Amen. 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 We have a wonderful mission statement as a church, that we're going to glorify this God by spreading the gospel. That's what Pentecost is all about, by spreading the gospel. Through doing three things, through our preaching, through our teaching, and through living our daily lives. That's exactly right. And that's what I want to close with today. When we say that where God guides, God provides, it requires that we grow in our faith, that we grow in our trust, in our daily walk with Him, in all personal aspects of our life with Him. And it is challenging to do that. It was challenging for those disciples as they waited those 10 days for Pentecost. I want you to maybe jot this down. It's John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, Jesus knows that He's about to soon depart, to ascend, to go to heaven. And Jesus has promised that He would never leave the disciples or forsake them. And so in John chapter 20, we read that Jesus gathered the disciples to Him. And He says this amazing thing in John chapter 20. He says, He breathes on them and He says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Did you catch that? Jesus gave the Holy Spirit to the church before Pentecost. Why? Because Jesus had promised them that He'd never leave them alone. And so He knew that He was going to be in heaven for 10 days. And so to keep His promise to those disciples, He breathed the Holy Spirit upon them. He never left them. He never forsook them. God was always with them. Amen? Where God guides, brothers and sisters, God provides. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep all of our hearts and all of our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's rise.